can sit down. Good to be with you. I just felt a real prophetic moment just there as we were just, as Pastor Don was there. And I just want to speak release over you. And my daughter was out doing some four-wheel driving with a friend of hers just a couple of weeks ago. And anyway, the friend that she was with said, "Carly, we are bogged. We are stuck, but don't worry, we're going to get out of this." And, you know, as we were just worshiping and singing songs to the Lord in this moment, I felt very clearly that there were some, maybe many in this room, that that is where your life is at right now, that you feel stuck, you feel bogged. And I just want to speak a prophetic word of release and freedom and increase over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God never destined you to get stuck. He never destined you to stop. He never destined you to go backwards. He destined you to go forward. Because the kingdom of God is an ever-advancing kingdom. And so God wants you, the man, the woman of God, to advance with his purpose and with his destiny. So lift up your hands right now before the Lord. And Father, we receive what your Spirit is saying to us right now, that we are not stuck and will not be stuck from this moment forward, that in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, that situation, that whatever it was that came around our lives, that the enemy has taken advantage of the moment that we are in, I speak release, I speak freedom, and I speak increase in the name of Jesus Christ. God, that this will be a day, a defining moment of change and of breakthrough. This will be a defining moment that the past is done and the future is here. That I am feeling different, thinking different, speaking different, behaving different. That your freedom has come into my soul in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I just felt that real prophetic moment as we were just singing and Pastor Don got up to speak. And I believe that we are receivers. We are receivers of what God has for us. He did not go to the cross for nothing. He went to the cross so that we would know what freedom is. And so if you will receive what God is saying to you, it can be a real life-changing moment. You know, it's in services like this that our lives were changed. And I don't believe that you can come around the Word of God or come into the kingdom of God and be the same. If you come into church and nothing's changed, then we need to open ourselves up and say, God, I need your Spirit. I want your kingdom to come. I want to be different. We go from darkness, we go to light. We go from who we used to be and to what God is making us become. When his Spirit comes, we cannot be the same. And so when Brian and I got born again, we first came into a church that looked and sounded a little like this in 1980. Our lives were never the same again. And how could they be? Because we met Jesus Christ. And so as pastors of a church now where, you know, we've been pastoring this church that we're pastoring now, we started out 23 years ago. April 9 this year, we celebrated 23 years. We started with 11 adults and 8 children. And one of the things that happens with pastoring is that you become dissatisfied because you don't want people to just have a church experience, a Sunday experience. You want them to have an encounter with the living God. You want them to know the power of the Holy Spirit. You want them to be changed and to be transformed. You want them to be people that fall in love with the Word of God, and the Word of God is a lamp to their feet. And so that's one of the joys and the frustrations of pastoring, if you like, is that people can come to church and that is their expression of Christianity, but we're selling ourselves short if we settle there. And God does not want us to settle. He wants us to go beyond. He wants us to increase. He wants us to walk in the things of the Spirit. You know, we've all got a prophetic edge to us because the Spirit of God is in us. And so we've got to be able to speak into atmospheres, whether it's been the atmosphere around your family or yourself or your church or your business. We can speak and declare the things of God into atmospheres and see atmosphere change because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. And so we are important upon the earth. God wants to use you mightily to change the atmosphere around you. I was in a church just a few weeks ago, and this woman came to the altar to be prayed for. and her name was Deanne. And anyway, she said to me later on, she said, when I started to pray, and I could feel when I was praying for her that something quite distinct was happening to her. I didn't know what, but she said to me later on, she said, I felt like these black things just shooting up through my head somehow. Now, whatever she was feeling, I wasn't seeing. But anyway, I found out later on, and she said to the pastor, she said, I'm different. Something happened at the altar tonight. Something happened when I came to the altar, when that lady prayed for me, and I'd never met her before. She said, I felt these things coming off me, coming out of me. And I didn't know that she'd been a prostitute and that she'd been an addict and all the rest of it. And I believe that God delivered her in that place. God delivered her. And, you know, when you come to the altar, A-L-T-A-R, we come to the altar to be altered. A-L-T-E-R-E-D. And so when you come to Christ, our lives are altered, not just for now, but for all eternity. And so this is the beauty of our walk with God. And I think when we settle and we get into a rut and we get into a bog or we get stuck, then it's time to shake off the dirt, shake off the dust and say, I'm going to walk differently from this moment forward. And I just want to share a couple of simple thoughts with you tonight. And very, very simple thoughts. But I want to speak to you how God is so committed to making things new in your life, that the old is gone. We were given a scripture by the Lord a couple of years ago in our church, Isaiah 43:18, that said, forget the former things, for behold, I'm about to do a new thing. Beautiful scripture. And that really applies to each and every one of us, because so often we get stuck in the old, we get stuck in what has been, and the Lord is trying to bust that off our lives and trying to cause us to step into a new day. And I just hope tonight that we're going to set foot in that direction, that you and I will be able to walk into the days that God has ordained for us. Just a couple of thoughts out of the Gospel of Mark tonight for us. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through to 5. And then I'm just going to read verse 9 through to 12 in the same chapter of chapter Mark, chapter 2 of Mark. And it says this, a few days later when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that, and there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached by word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through, they lowered the mat with the paralyzed man that the paralyzed man was laying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now verse 9, which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. And church, I believe it's time that is our testimony, that we have never seen anything like this before. That we get out of the rut that, you know, that sometimes we can get into a mindset, things can't change, won't change, aren't able to change. But I believe that this should be our story, that even though it's been this, it can be that. Even though it's looked like that, it can be this, because Jesus is in the house. And there's something that happens here. There is this gathering of people. And the word tells us here that they gathered and there was no room left. And I believe that every church and every nation ought to be praying and ought to be prophesying into days that are still ahead of us, that every church auditorium be filled until there is no room left. We've got multitudes to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every city, every church. Wouldn't that be wonderful if that was our story in our nation and in your nation, that people gathered and there was no room left? And because there was no room, these people, they had to come up with a plan, if you like, to help why this man who was a paralyzed man on the mat. But you've got to understand the reason why they were gathering. And it tells us here, because Jesus was preaching the word. Now, I don't know what this word, this Bible, what impact it's had upon your life, but everything changed in my life when this word got in me. It changed the way I thought. It changed my heart. It changed my attitudes. It changed my choices that I was making. It was changing my decisions, my priorities. Everything somehow was influenced by this written word. His word was a lamp to my feet, and it was a light to my path. It changed absolutely everything. Pastor Don picked us up from the airport on Friday. I think within 10 minutes of being in the car, we were talking about scripture. And that's what happens. He was speaking out of Hebrews chapter 5, and we were talking about that even Jesus himself was so passionate about the word, and he was the living word, that he even wept for people, for mankind, because the word was in him and he wanted to get the word into them. And so he was passionate. See, the word is a lamp to our feet. And Jesus preached the word, and it was a life-changing moment for those that came into the proximity of hearing the word. It's one thing to hear the word, and it's another thing to do something with it. I'm so inspired. You are in the right church, Terry. You are an inspired church, and what an inspiration you are. Here's this man telling me about the gym. That's G-Y-M. And telling me about how his life has changed, his health, his strength, and everything has been altered because he's disciplined with those exercises. And I said, I joined the gym once and I damaged my neck and I never wanted to go back. But I'm thinking, I am left without excuse here. You know, it's like, you can say, I should go to the gym. It's another thing to say, I should go and I will go. And it's the same with the word. I should do that, and I should do something with that, not just hear it, but I will make application of the word. It's that changes our lives. We start to get different priorities and different perspectives. But this crowd of people on this particular day was so thick that someone in this little group of five, the four people that were either side of the stretcher, and the man that was on the stretcher, somebody was the problem solver in the group. I don't know which one was, but thank God for problem solvers. Because problem solvers don't give up. Problem solvers don't quit at the first obstacle. Problem solvers don't come up with, it's too hard, there's too many people, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's good or it's bad or I don't feel like it. Problem solvers find a way to come through and to break through. Somebody in the group came up with the idea, I know what we'll do, we can't go in through the door because there's too many people, we'll go up through the roof. Someone, think about the dynamics of that. If someone tonight decided to come through this roof instead of the front door, someone's got to find a way up. They got to somehow give a leg up, or did they have ladders in those days? Who knows? Someone's got to get on the roof, maneuver that stretcher, hold the body weight of the man without dropping him, find a way up. Somebody came up with this plan to do that. And it shows that somebody had the intuition, the faith, the commitment, the problem solver in the group to say, we can't go through the door, but whatever it takes, we are getting to Jesus. Somebody said, I will not give up. That's what going beyond is. That's what increase is. That is what saying, it looks difficult, it looks hard, but the first sign of obstacle will not throw me off course here. See, the enemy wants you to get stuck. He actually doesn't have to defeat you in 10 different ways. He just has to get you stuck. And if he gets you stuck long enough, you lose your energy, you lose your hope, you lose your faith, you lose your inspiration, you lose your faith, just kind of dulls down somehow. He has just got you stuck. And I love the fact that our daughter was with a problem solver on the day that that truck got stuck. He said, Carly, we are stuck, we are bogged, but do not worry, we will get out of this. And church, I want to tell you, no matter how stuck you might feel right now, God is on your side. You are not stuck when God is for you and not against you. God is on your side. And if you will just take a hold of God right now. And these men made an opening in the roof above Jesus. Jesus is here preaching. There is an opening made above Jesus as he is preaching, which means it was intentional, it was deliberate. We are getting to wherever the word of God is being preached. We are going to be in the proximity and the company of Jesus Christ, and we're getting as close as we possibly can. And here's the thing. There's times when we've got to get a panoramic view of heaven's possibilities for our lives. Because if we don't get a panoramic view of heaven's possibilities, we get stuck with earth and all of its issues and all of its problems and all of its stuff that goes on. But God wants us to go higher so that we'll see from heaven's perspective. One of these men had an idea for this paralyzed man. And life sometimes can throw stuff at us, and we can be the paralyzed. We can get broken. We can have a dream that is taken from us. Our strength has been dried up somehow. Somehow our inspiration for going forward, we can become weak in our body. Our spirit might be strong, but our bodies are failing. And we've got to align ourselves afresh with the voice of the Holy Spirit. And say, I've got to listen to the right voice. Pastor Don and Byron went to pray when Don was in Australia just a few weeks back. Went to pray for a man. He's about 80, 81 years of age. He was actually probably dying in the moment because his heart was failing. And they went and prayed the prayer of faith over this man. The next day they got text messages saying he was up, he was about, he was giving water to the cows and hanging out the washing for his wife. Was that coincidental, or did the kingdom of God come to that man that day? Somebody was prepared to pray the prayer of faith and saying, it looks like this. It looks like this man's about to leave this earth. Thank God for people of faith who say, let's believe Jesus in this moment. Kingdom of God comes. And these four men were girded with enough faith and enough determination, enough persistence, thank God for them, to push their way through and get this, for the benefit of somebody else. This was about the man on the stretcher. And they did all this for somebody else. Some of us might think, the degree of difficulty going up on the roof, the inconvenience of that moment, because digging is hard work. Digging means we might have to get dirty. Digging means there's difficulty with this. There's strain attached to this. But instead of being put off by that, they dug through anyway and they got this man up and lowered him down so that he could hear the preaching of the word and his life, we know. We don't know how long Jesus preached for. We don't even know how long it took for them to get up on the roof, dig the hole, get the man through. How long did it take? Was it minutes? Was it hours? And I ask you, church, if your situation takes minutes, hours, months, or years, will you stay under the anointing of the word of God to keep you on track, keep you running in your lane so that you don't detour to the left or to the right? And I want God to touch you tonight. I really do. And in a few moments' time, we're just going to prophesy. We are going to prophesy as Ezekiel prophesied to the valley of dry bones. We are going to prophesy life. We're going to prophesy freedom. We're going to prophesy breakthrough. We're going to prophesy increase. We're going to prophesy that this is a new day, that this is your suddenly moment, that this is the day that you've been waiting for. Because as I read my Bible, God is a now God. Do you know in the King James Bible, the word now is actually mentioned 1,335 times. If God uses the word now so many times, he's saying the word now to us, which means right now. Why should we keep delaying when God wants to move upon our lives right now. Let me just mention three quick thoughts with you. Is this. Number one, Jesus preached the word. Every one of our lives needs to be under the sound of the preaching of the word. And not only that, and that doesn't mean a Sunday experience. You've got to become a preacher back to yourself. Get a hold of this word and preach it back to you. You can be the prophet that speaks back to you based upon the written scripture and say, by his stripes I am healed. I'm more than a conqueror. Somebody said that this morning from here. I am more than a conqueror. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You've got to begin to preach the word back to you. Prophesy the scripture back to you. Prophesy and preach the word over your household. Don't just say, well, my kids are away from God, messing up all over the place. God has got a destiny and a future for them. Just preach them back into the kingdom of God. Prophesy over their lives. They don't have to be in the room. It's best if they're not. But you can go into their room and just declare that that atmosphere, this will be the atmosphere in their room where they will meet Jesus Christ. We've got to start to get alive again with truth, with the truth of God's word. The second thought I want to give to you is this, that the scripture tells us that Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith, which means there's action attached to our faith. See, I could get up and say, well, you know, I could give you a whole bunch of knowledge out of this, but faith is to be seen. And the fact that they climbed up, went, dug a hole through, lowered the paralyzed man down, Jesus saw their faith. And I believe that God wants to see our faith as well. We've got to put some action to the truth that is already in us. And the third thing is this. This man got more than what he came for. He got his sins forgiven and he got his body healed. That's a pretty good deal. That's going beyond. That's more than enough. These men would not have understood what Jesus was about to face back then. Jesus was about to go to the cross. And yet the kingdom of God had come among them that day. The scripture tells us that Jesus saw their faith, which means that our faith also can be seen. Faith can move things out of the way. Faith can shift atmospheres. Faith sets its compass towards Jesus. Faith can get messy. It can look like this one day and look like that another day, and yet faith stays you running in your lane. Faith that is seen is faith when you give praise on credit. Faith is when you roll up your sleeves and say, God, here I am again. Here I am again. Here I am again. Faith is just going again and going again and the long again. Here I am digging my way through the disappointments and the resistance, the loss of hope or energy. And the enemy tries so very hard to silence you and cause you to lose your voice. And yet faith rises again and say, I will find my voice of faith again. And I will come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, I will bring my voice. For faith causes a voice on earth to come all the way into heaven. And God is looking for his voice upon the earth. That's what the church is all about. See, the enemy wants to keep you and me on the stretcher. Just laid out. He wants to keep you paralyzed with the stuff that has happened in your life. And I know it's happened in your life because it's happened in our life. It's called living life on planet Earth. And we have an enemy that roams around seeking whom he may devour. And if he can put you on that stretcher and keep you on that stretcher and keep you paralyzed and keep you outside and keep you looking at the difficulties instead of the possibilities, then he's done his job good. And here's the beautiful thing in this story, and this is where we come in. We need faith friends. Thank God this man on the stretcher had four faithful friends. They didn't know about the cross, and yet somehow there was faith in them. You know, when you're going through a rough time, this is just my story, you may be different. I really appreciate the sympathizers and the ones who can show compassion my way. But I tell you what I really appreciate. I appreciate the men and women of faith who will give me compassion and give me sympathy, but say, I want to help lift you up above your situation so that you can rise up and get above this, and that becomes your testimony, not your misery. God, we absolutely need to be faithful friends, but we also need to be faith-filled friends for somebody else. We have an enemy who wants to keep our faith small and keep it weak. But when men and women of faith come around you, and they are there for one reason only, and that is to lift you up so that again you can stand on your feet. Please add your faith to mine, and I'll add my faith to yours. And we'll go to higher ground together so that we can see from kingdom perspective. Given the size of the difficulty here, it took four men. It took four men to either side of the stretcher. And sometimes big things come into your life and it requires support here, support here, support and support here. But it's got to be more than a support network, because otherwise we all stay at the same level. We need faith, 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 faith. And together we can overcome this thing, and eventually I'll be able to get back on my feet again. Faith people that will lift us up and carry us back into our position to receive our miracle and hear the words that this man heard. Your sins are forgiven. Get up, take up your mat and walk and go home. What a moment. What a moment. Imagine that. This man's life could never remain the same from that moment on. But if those four men had not bothered with him, there is a chance that he would have remained on that paralyzed, as a paralyzed man on that mat. You can never, ever, ever underestimate the value of your life when you care more about somebody else in need than you do about yourself. And I believe that's what the church ought to be. We should be more concerned about those that are not here tonight than those that are. We were going to pray this in a moment. We're going to pray about those that are not here tonight. And our faith can help lift them up, maybe find their way back into the house of God, into their destiny with God, going beyond and coming into their days of increase. And so that's all I really want to share with you tonight, a simple word. But I want us to have our focus and our attention upon others. Team, could I have you back, please? That would be fantastic. As Byron said this morning, we've been focusing a lot this year about increase. And we've done that very prophetically because God spoke to us in December last year that we were coming into a season of increase, and we're seeing it. We're just seeing it all around. But that isn't just about numerically in our church or finances or anything like that. We are speaking about increase in the lives of men and women, children, coming into a real place of intimacy in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as I said to you, we could pastor our church until we are ready to retire. But it's not about numbers and how many people come. It's about how many people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's about lordship. And Byron said this morning, you know, you can make a, you got to come from confession to commitment and then into consecration. And so it's this progression of growth, and it comes out of intimacy. It all comes out of intimacy with Jesus Christ. But I wonder how many people you know that are on a stretcher tonight. Maybe you're in this room tonight and this story kind of rings true with you. You may have someone at home right now that they've just been paralyzed by the events of life. Stuff just blindsided them. Absolutely came their way. It was through no fault of their own, but stuff just entered their space and they have been crippled emotionally. Their hearts have been broken. They're disappointed. They're disillusioned. And they are stuck in their moment. And I want to do two things as we close. And I know he tried for you, because I know how the enemy operates. And I know he tries to paralyze our faith. And when your faith is paralyzed, your confidence is paralyzed. And when you lose your confidence, you lose that energy to go forward. And I want to really pray into that tonight, because it's not the work of God for you to lose your confidence. It's the work of the enemy. And he's taken advantage and he's worked around an environment of your life that has been just massive. And somehow you got caught up in the slipstream of all of that, and the enemy just tries to bleed you dry, suck you dry. And God wants to change that from this moment forward. And secondly, I want us to pray for others that are not here tonight. First and foremost, can we stand to our feet? I'm going to ask the team just to sing this one song. I want you just, we've only got a few minutes left, and then we're all going to have some time together. Please don't waste this moment that we're in right now, because this could be your moment, like this man had his moment that his life was changed. This could be your moment right now. And we're going to worship and open up our hearts before the Lord. You know, the greatest asset that you have is having a heart that is open and responsive to the Lord. And if God can find that in you and me, it's nothing's impossible. Team, can you just lead us with that? That'd be great.